could tell someone something as a reminder of your presence and your care, Jesus did that in these passages. And I want to share a few words from John 14. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. It is sufficient when we see the Father. It's enough. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, everything without you is not enough. And you with nothing else is. And sometimes we think that life is telling us that there will not be enough, or there's not enough grace and mercy. But you tell us over and over again, you have enough for us. And you love us. Thank you for your word today to us. And I ask that you would speak to us now with the words we need to hear. Unto that end, Heavenly Father, I ask that the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts and the thoughts in our minds, would be acceptable in thy sight. Lord God, you are our strength. You are our rock, our redeemer, our hope, our fortress, and my redeemer. Amen. I want to share with you how this passage came to me in a different way a few months ago. When I looked at this, I looked at it like a bridegroom-to-be, telling his one he's betrothed to that the time for the marriage isn't ready. And I have to leave, but I will come back. And what he says really surprises me, because he makes some promises to his bridegroom. And he makes a promise based on one condition, and only one condition, that he will come back and manifest those promises. As a matter of fact, a repeated blessing while he's gone will be there. And he talks about those promises to his people, to his disciples. And he says, first of all, I'm going to go do something for you. I'm going to get ready. And the way I look at it is as if someone was going overseas, getting a new place ready to live. And when it's time and it's all set up, then he'll come back, collect his bride for his home, marry his bride, and take her home to be with him. And he says, I know that when you find out that I'm not with you for a time, it's going to be difficult and you're going to feel like I'm not there. But he says this, if you will manifest my love in the way I have loved you, I will do this for you. I will send you a comforter. I will pray to the Father, and he will send you the comforter to give you comfort. Now, when he says that, he gives us a clear example of how he loves us. He loves us by giving us comfort in time of need. And so if you see someone in need and you bless them with comfort or compassion, You are loving others as He has loved you because He's given you the Holy Spirit for comfort. Now, I want you to know that that blessing that comes to you and that promise that is fulfilled happens as you do it for others. If you have experienced any comfort, even Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you've experienced any comfort, share it with others. For comforting others is why you've been comforted. The same gift God has given you, He wants you to extend to others in the same way you received it. Why? Because that's the only way you know that it works. Because if it changes your life, and changes your heart, and changes who you are, then it might work for someone else too. And if you share that with someone, then they might find out what you experienced was true for them as well. And so he says, I pray to the Father that you would have someone who will comfort you in tough times. And you must do the same for others. Now, it gets better than that. Not just a comfort. He goes on and he talks about this. He says, in this 14th chapter, in the 15th chapter, he says that clearly, a new command I give you. As a matter of fact, he says this command in 13, near the end of verse 34. He says, the new command is that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, if you look through this 14th and 15th chapter, he keeps repeating that and then saying what he will do if you do that. He says, first thing is that in verse 12, he says, He that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works. He promises you that you will do greater works than he did. Now you say, I can't walk on water. Well, folks, that's not a work. That's a miracle. That's a supernatural event. The work he did was to do the work of his heavenly Father, to bring people to the kingdom, to bring them closer to Christ. That was his work, to bring them the truth. And he says, you will do greater works than seeking and finding the lost sheep of Israel. God will bless others through you. And those are greater works than a healing. If you ever look at the scripture and Jesus healed somebody, raised them from the dead, or did anything like that for anybody, including the wine at the wedding, the water changed into wine, was not for that miracle. It was for the work of God's Word which was proclaimed. Every time someone was healed, restored, or a miracle happened, Jesus said, this is why it was done. For this work. Do you remember the man born blind? And they said, who was the one that sinned? Is himself or his parents? And he said, neither one. He was born blind so that God's glory would be recognized in this man. He was healed for God's glory to come into this man, and this man would be a part of God's kingdom. Not so he could see. That's no good. Because once you see, you're still going to die, and without God, you're still dead. Doesn't help a whole lot. Jesus wanted a permanent result. And he always taught a lesson with every single healing, with every single miracle. There was an object behind it. Even walking on water, it was so they knew that he was the master of the wind and the waves and infinitely, completely trustable. It was not so they could learn to walk on water too, although Peter did. Now that was a miracle in itself, but it wasn't a work. The work is you will do the work of bearing his truth to the world. Now he says, that's one thing you will do. And he says, right after that, he says in verse 14, whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Anything. Now you might say, well, I want you to go and do this to so-and-so and take care of this and take care. It's not what he says. What he says is, if there's something that you know that God can provide for you, He will do that thing for you. Not going to give you something, not material something or other, but an event. Something that He would do for another person even. And I preached this once, and I prayed, and I even spoke it from the pulpit. I said, I want Jesus to go into a hospital and heal a friend of mine who was having pancreatic cancer. And shortly after that, a few months later, he died. And I went down to Alabama and did the funeral back in August. And I was really upset about that. I said, God, well, it doesn't work. And he said, well, I cannot control free will. If this man doesn't want to be healed and he wants to go home, he's going home. I can't heal a man that doesn't want to be healed. You remember the man came up to Jesus and said, if you're willing, you can heal me. And he says, I'm willing. And he healed him. And Jesus often said, if you don't want the healing, I can't. I cannot heal you. Now, if you listen real carefully to what I'm talking about, is that Jesus can do for someone else only what they're in union with, if you will. Same mind. So when this man decided he didn't want to live, I said, Lord, change his mind. And I said, I want you to heal him, because I said it from the pulpit that I want you to heal him, and you didn't. And it doesn't look like it's going to happen. And he said, he wants to go home. And every time you prayed with him, he says, pray that I go home. And then after a while, he finally said, you know, you're extending his life by asking him to stay alive and be in misery. You need to let him go too. And finally, as I said, God took him home. But I was upset about that until he told me that God will only do something for somebody that they want done. But he says, if you love others as you love him, and as he loves you, he will do it for them. Intercessory prayer works. But he doesn't stop there. He goes into verse 15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And in verse 16, that's where he says, then I will give the comforter. Again, the commandment is that you love one another as he has loved you. And then he says, I will come to you. I will return. Part of that promise. And he goes on a little further and he says, in verse 21, and I love this one, he says, he that keeps my commandments and has them is he that loves me. And he that loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love you. Now you say, oh, I know, we sing about Jesus loves me all the time, but do you know what it means to be loved unconditionally? Do you know what it means to have a God who created this whole place and knows your goings in and out everywhere, every single moment of the day, and cares about even the hairs on your head? He has them numbered. We worry more about the ones falling out than the ones on our head. It's true. But I'm telling you, that's the kind of God we serve, who knows all the infinite possibilities for your life and has it picked out for you if you trust Him. And He says, I will show you I love you. I will demonstrate my love. Jesus doesn't just say, I love you. He puts it into action. He loved us from a cross, no less. And that was just the beginning of the relationship. And now He lives forever to intercede for you with God to get you these blessings. It's good news. But listen to what He says after that. He says, not only will I love you, listen to this, I will manifest myself to you. If you've ever prayed a prayer like I prayed one night, you know how it feels to pray this prayer. And I said, Lord, I need to see you now. I'm having some struggles. I need to see your presence and your power right now. I really need it. Maybe you've prayed that. Maybe you've wrestled with that where God seems distant. But He says, if you will love others in the same way that He loves you, He will reveal Himself to you. You will see Jesus when you begin to love others as He loves you. It doesn't say you have to die on a cross. That's how He brought us into the relationship. How does He love you? He loves you by giving you comfort, by lifting you up and preparing things for you and looking after you and manifesting love so that you know His love is genuine. And He does something else. He says, if you love me, you will keep my word. This is verse 23. And my Father will love him, or you, if you will. And we will come to you. And we will make our abode down the street. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that. It says, we will make our abode with you. We will live in you. Now I have a question for you. And this is a real simple question. If all of God, all God's power, every last bit of God was inside of you right now, what do you think would happen? Probably blow up, wouldn't you? Can't hold it all, right? I mean, that's a lot of God, you know? That's a lot of power, all that. I'd get happy just in a little bit of it, right? Well, let me ask you this. If you had just a little bit of that God in you, just a little bit of that power, do you think you could tell a difference? Do you? He says we will come and make that difference in your life if you love others like we love you. He will live in you and you'll feel it. You'll know it and He will enable you to love. I like that. And He says, if you're doing all these things, I'm going to give you peace. A peace that the world cannot give and cannot take away. But He doesn't stop there. And I'll tell you, there's a lot in these chapters, but I'm trying to be brief with you because there's a lot. In 15, He goes and says what I call the big two. The big two promises. He says in verse 7 in chapter 15, if my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done to you. Done unto you. Let me ask you a real simple question. What do you want God to do to you? I know it's not an easy answer, but it's a simple question. But do you know how I answered that? I said, God, give me a heart like yours. Change my heart to have your heart so I can love others like you love me. That's what I said. I want you to do that to me, God. And whatever you say to help me do that, I'll do it. Takes you in some strange places in life, sometimes directions you don't want to go. But it will happen, and you'll have a heart as God has. It's awesome. But He doesn't just stop there. He keeps going. He talks about you'll bear more fruit. And in verse 11 He says, if you do these things, not only will you have peace, but my joy will remain in you, and it will be a complete joy. Now we're getting from peace to joy. God's going to change you, and then you're going to have joy, and then you'll be so in sync with Him that you got one more promise that He's going to do for you. Now this is where your asking changes. He says in verse 16, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And I ordained you that you would go and bring forth fruit. You're going to bear fruit from Him. And your fruit will remain. And when that happens and you love as He does and His fruit manifests through you, you will ask anything in His name to the Father and He will give it to you. This is a gift, a provision. Anything that you want, God will do for you when you get to that point in that relationship. Why? Because as the psalmist says, when that comes, you'll delight yourself in the Lord always, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And His heart will be your heart, and all you'll desire is Him. As Paul said, all I ever want to know amongst you is Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the power of His resurrection. That's all I want to know. Everything else is extra. That's all I want to know. And if God does that for you, can you imagine how much joy you'll have? Because your heart will be God's heart. His home will be in you. And everywhere you go, you'll be like this guy I know who taught me this. That when I walk in a room, God is there. Because I brought Him. He goes with me because He lives here. And Jesus said, for that to happen, all you have to do is love others the way He loves you, and He'll help you do it. I've said enough, but I want to share with you a last thought. If I could take a rolling pin, take some dough, and put all these good ingredients in it, and then roll out a place I'd like to be with people I'd like to be, it would be here. And I'd like it to stick in the oven and warm and make it rise up and see the blessing of that fruit. That would be what I would do. The hardest lesson we have to learn is we can't make God do anything but what He wants. And Jesus, in His closing words to His disciples, said, Father, take this cup from me, but not Your will done, but not my will done, Yours. I never said God played fair. He plays to love. And I trust Him. And I know He knows what He's doing here with us. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, You tell us over and over again that You're going to come back to us. That You'll always comfort and sustain us, that Your Word is true to us. And that You promise us that. You've never failed. You've never lied. You never will. And that You're always there for us. Today, Heavenly Father, those promises sometimes feel strained, challenged. But Your Word to us is always yes. And Your love is always eternal and uplifting. May we see that manifested in us now. May we find Your grace bestowed upon us. And may Your heart for us be clear. Heavenly Father, I pray not for myself, but for my friends here. That Your Holy Spirit would guide, protect, and direct. And that Your will be done. Amen.